The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. The Kevin Lucas Orchestra from around Carbondale, Illinois, at least one or two of their members are from there and others come from elsewhere, has recently broken the top 40 on what's called the FMQB National Radio Chart. This is quite a big deal for them. They've won various other things over the years, including a songwriting award from Billboard magazine. And Kevin Lucas is, of course, the namesake of the orchestra. He's the leader of the band, and he plays the marimba, specifically the 5-octave marimba. We'll be telling you why that is significant and what a marimba is, if it's not something you're familiar with. We have got Kevin live in the studio with us in advance of their second appearance at this year's Illinois State Fair in Springfield. They were there last weekend. They'll be there again this coming weekend. And we are pleased to feature Kevin live in the studio on Live and Local Today here on FM 90.9.
Just how much your love means to me. I can't find my way home through these darkened fields I roam. I can't find my way.
That's called My Way Home, as you probably could figure out. The Kevin Lucas Orchestra from their latest CD that so far is available to radio stations. And I think before too long will be available more extensively, but we'll hear about that in a moment from Kevin Lucas himself. He is joining us on the show today. Kevin Lucas Orchestra will be performing at the Illinois State Fair this Saturday evening at 7 o'clock in Springfield. They were there last weekend as well, apparently had a great reception. So if you heard them and liked them, you get to hear them again. And if you haven't heard them, well, I hope that today's show will give you enough of an idea of what they sound like. And they have he gives them the name, if I can sort of remember, World Adult Contemporary Rock or something like that. But Kevin's here, so I'll let him speak for it. First of all, Kevin, thanks for coming back. We were on, what, about a year ago?
Yeah, it was about a year ago.
With your five-octave marimba friend here, and also a couple other members of the band. We'd have you just by yourself today. So I referred to a couple things. One, this CD that we just sampled is a radio sampler for now. What's going to happen to it?
Well, these songs on this particular CD have been released to radio nationwide. They're on rotation. Here I Am, the lead track, is on rotation on 53 stations nationwide. They are also available on iTunes and probably a dozen or so online digital services.
As individual tracks?
Yes. So they can be found online if you search Kevin Lucas Orchestra.
And then what happens? Are these going to show up on a full CD at some point, or what are your recording plans so far?
Yes, these songs are going to show up on a CD probably in early spring. We're planning. What we're doing right now is releasing singles to the radio nationwide, just as a precursor to the album, and then releasing the album later, just to get people excited about it.
And I made reference by way of introduction to you before we played My Way Home that you recently broke top 40 in the, what is it called, FMQB national radio chart. I mean, I'm working radio, but public radio doesn't get on those charts, so I'm not really sure what that is. Why is that significant?
Well, FMQB is a rock chart. We're on the adult contemporary rock chart. And it's the second biggest chart in the U.S. behind Billboard. I heard R&R went under a couple years ago, but FMQB is the second biggest chart. And it consists mostly of radio stations in rural areas. A lot of the places, for example, that were in rotation, Paducah, Kentucky, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, Galesburg, Illinois, a lot of rural cities around the U.S. and small towns were in rotation then.
And why is that a big deal?
Well, it's just a collection of, stations nationwide. When you're getting played, on a collaborative set of stations like that, your fan base increases, and of course you get charted and you get attention.
Do fans learn of that, and then the Kevin Lucas Orchestra broke the top 40. I'm going to go listen to them. Or is it simply a reflection of who's already listening?
It's the charts are a reflection of the fact that it's on the radio and people are hearing it. Like, I get contacted, I get emails from people, saying, "Oh, we heard you on the radio in Kentucky or in Missouri," and new fans like that. So the charts are basically just a reflection of the airplay that's happening.
So not necessarily a reflection of who's listening, but that for some reason the stations decided to play it because either they got a good response or the DJs liked it or the programmers liked it enough to play it a lot.
Exactly. Basically, we do have radio promoters that are out there aggressively trying to get our songs on the air. And like anything, you have to hire promoters to try to make that happen. But whether the stations pick it up is a whole different story. You could hire promoters to go out and promote your music, but if it's not a good song, the station's going to say no, thank you. But luckily, with our new song, we've had radio stations left and right adding it and really liking it. So we've been real fortunate with the response we've had from our new single.
Now, we haven't heard that song yet, but I think we're going to. Maybe even now. Or
sure.
Is that not the first one we're doing? I don't know what sequence you worked out.
We can do Here I Am first. That's the song that's currently on the radio. It's 37 on this week's FMQB chart. It's in rotation on 53 stations nationwide. And we've been getting a lot of great feedback about this song. A lot of people like it. And incidentally, it's kind of out of our style, to be honest with you. Most of our music is sort of a world adult contemporary type of style, whereas this song is more in the pop genre. So we really went out on a loop when we made the song. And to be totally honest with you, I didn't like it the first time I heard it because Andy wrote it, you know, and my singer. And he, you know, I didn't really like it. And I said, I don't know if this really fits our style. So he talked me into giving it a try. So once we got in the studio and I started laying down tracks for this and getting the feel for recording on an actual pop song, you know, a kind of a Katy Perry style slash world beat style song, I started getting into it and enjoying the process. And I saw, I kind of felt musically what it is, and I felt more in tune with this genre than I have in the past because most of our music is not pop oriented. So it kind of grew on me, and I really like it now.
So now Andy, who is Andrew Waldron, who's your vocalist, guitarist, plays some keyboards, he's saying, I told you so.
Right? Exactly, exactly.
And that's okay with you, I presume.
Yeah, he is a very gifted songwriter. He's written quite a few of our songs. We collaborate on everything, whether he writes something or I write something. We both work on it together. But he's a very good songwriter, and I'm very glad that I had an open mind and gave the okay on this pop song. Now that I see the success we're having with it, I'm very happy with the decision.
So your sound might change a little bit as time goes, or just incorporate that sound into future shows a little bit more than you have?
No, I don't think we're going to go more so in this direction, but we're the type of band where we will try any style. The only style we will not probably ever try is rap. But we, you know, we're open-minded and we like to experiment. And I'm really inspired by, you know, artists out there who can, you know, write songs in many different genres and have hits in different genres and have CDs that come out to where audience members are surprised, you know, and they're like, this doesn't sound anything like the band. And we, you know, I like those types of artists, and I think that's what we're striving to be like. We have a history of surprising our listeners. Once they think they have us pegged in a certain style, they'll hear our next CD and they'll be like, whoa, you know, they'll be shocked, but then they'll like it. Fortunately for us, that's how it's been working.
Well, what we're going to hear today, since you don't have the band with you, well, in a way, you do have the band with you. They're on CD, but this is a CD that has stripped out the marimba, which is your instrument,
right,
from the mix. And so you got the marimba live, and I suppose we should say, before we get to the music again, is what on earth is the marimba for those who don't happen to know? I said a little bit about it when I was talking to Vic DiGeronimo last hour, but for anybody just tuning in, if you know the term maybe but not really sure, I'm looking at one, but why don't you describe it a little bit?
Sure. The marimba is an African instrument. It goes back into antiquity and is a very old instrument. It's one of the oldest instruments on Earth, believe it or not. It goes back into thousands of years ago in the tribal areas of South America and Africa. And it was basically an indigenous tribal instrument for many years. It was introduced only in the 1900s into American society in the early 1900s, especially in the mid-1900s. So it's been incorporated into classical style music probably only within the last 20 to 30 years. And it's still in classical music. It's rarely used. It's used mostly in percussion ensemble, percussion solo literature, and wind ensemble literature. But it's a very unique, cool, and new instrument to our society. And I have taken a step to try to incorporate it into the rock genre, quote unquote, because you know, when I say rock regarding this group, it's a very broad term. But we have incorporated this instrument into mainstream and tried to introduce the instrument to mainstream music listeners and not just people specialized in schools of music, but you know, to more bars and clubs and people who, you know, aren't music majors in schools. And to regular college students, we've tried to bring this marimba and this instrument and this sound to them, and it's been very exciting.
So the marimba is one of several kinds of keyboard instruments that percussionists play. I would imagine that most listeners will know what a xylophone is. It's common to a marimba in that you share, it has wooden keys that you hit with a mallet. And it does have these resonating tubes that hang beneath, I guess not each key, but all the way through underneath that helps the sound. And these would have been originally made out of wood, I suppose.
No, actually, the resonators were made out of squash and vegetables.
Really?
And fruits, yeah. And they used to wrap pig intestines around them to give them, they still do actually in Mexico. The Mexican marimbas have pig intestines or cat intestines, you know, either wrapped around the vegetables and it gives it a buzzing sound. But the American marimba, now the modernized marimba, has aluminum resonators, and what it does is amplifies the sound. It's very similar if you see a pipe organ and you see the big pipes coming down, similar to that.
Well, let's give a listen. We're going to hear the track that's been making the charts on radio stations cross country.
Yeah.
And it's called Here I Am. Is this your composition?
No,
this is the one that's Andy's composition.
Andy wrote this song. And I would like to say a lot of my influence is Frank Zappa. He introduced the xylophone into, you know, I don't know if a lot of people call him rock, but in his style of music, he's got a lot of xylophone. And so it's really cool. I like the stuff he did.
So we're going to hear Kevin Lucas on marimba live in our studio. And then on the backing CD, Andy Waldron is the vocalist and probably playing guitar on this track.
Yes.
And Justin Wiley's the bass player.
That's correct.
Jason Murray on drums. Lee England Jr. on violin. Is he on this track?
Actually, there's only three people on
this one?
Yeah, it's Andy, Justin, and myself. I'm doing all the percussion besides the marimba that you hear. There's no drum set. It's all percussion, world-sounding percussion instruments, bass guitar, and acoustic guitar and vocals.
And live marimba in our studio. So nice. Sort of multiple type of fusion here. Kevin Lucas Orchestra, all five or six of you will be at the State Fair on Saturday.
The whole group will be there at the State Fair. Yep.
Which includes, we'll talk about that later. But that'll be Saturday evening in Springfield. We're live on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Here I am. Here I am.
It's called Here I Am, the Kevin Lucas Orchestra, or part of the Kevin Lucas Orchestra, including Kevin Lucas himself, playing live with the other guys who were on a CD, Andy Waldron, the vocalist and guitarist, Justin Wiley, the bass, and Kevin also playing the other percussion besides the marimba, which is what he was playing live in our studio. That's the track that has been making some waves on radio stations across the country and made them, currently 37th on the FMQB radio charts, which is a great thing for them. Kevin Lucas Orchestra will be at this Illinois State Fair in Springfield Saturday night, starting at 7 o'clock. The marimba we were describing a bit, now you know what it sounds like. And we made a big deal in promoting the show today about saying it is a 5-octave marimba, which is important because it's the largest one. 4-octave is more normal? Or are there others as well?
Marimbas usually come in 4-octave, 4 1/3, 4 1/2, or 5. So 5-octave would be the biggest type of marimba.
And as Vic DiGeronimo described earlier, he watched you getting it into the studio, which meant disassembling it in various pieces, and then reassembling it in the studio, because it's sort of a challenge to get this quite large thing around the various corners and so on. And I can see that this thing has been through the ringer a bit. There's lots of hacks and scratches and so on, but it holds together. And you said you've had it for, what, since the mid-90s, something like that?
Yeah, 16 years. I bought this in 1996. This thing is a war machine. It has held up. I've probably played over 500 gigs with it. And
they can't be cheap.
No, they run about $20,000
really?
New now. Yeah, I bought this for $13,000 in 1996.
Was that a good price then?
Yeah, it was.
And, or was that the going rate?
That was about the going rate for them at that time. But this instrument has just been awesome. You know, I think all the dings and nicks on it give it character.
Well, and I'm looking at the keys, and as far as I don't see any dings or nicks in the keys, which I imagine are the important things, not to ding or nick.
Yeah, these keys run about, you know, between $200 and $300 a piece to have them replaced.
For one of the wooden keys?
Yes.
Well, I don't know how many keys are on there, but multiply a whole lot by $200 or $300 and you end up with a really whole lot.
Exactly.
So I imagine you don't want to be buying a new one anytime soon.
No, you know, I hope to be able to afford it someday with everything I got going on, but, you know, it's been a great instrument. I love it, and it sounds good. The nice thing about a marimba is it's like wine. As years go by, the keys get warmer.
Really?
And they sound better, yeah.
No kidding.
It's like a violin. The older it gets, the wood ages, and it sounds sweeter.
So that's specifically because of the wooden keys. The rest of it is made, well, the resonator is made of, I think you said, aluminum?
Yeah.
So that's not going to change over
time. The wooden keys over time get a sweeter sound.
And I imagine you can vary the sound a little bit according to what mallets you choose to use.
Absolutely.
Softer or harder or different materials.
Yep.
What are the ones you're using wound with?
These are JM13. They're Jeff Moore model Pro Mark. He's a professor of percussion at University of Central Florida. He designed these. And these have a really hard core inside, like a rock core, but they have...
Rock?
Yeah, it's like a hard stone, but then it's there's rubber compacted around that, and then yarn around that. So they're wrapped very tightly. So there's none of the inner, rock in the middle. The hard part in the middle doesn't come in contact at all with the keys because it's wrapped so tightly. By the time you get the rubber and the yarn around the mallet,
reminds me of a baseball. You know that has. So many layers of it, but I guess that central core is a little bouncy, which enables you to hit it out of the park. But
yeah, these are too. They actually do have quite a bit of bounce to them
because of the rubber around.
Yes,
because you need a certain amount of rebound, I guess.
Exactly
when you're hitting them, because that's going to be part of the feel. I imagine that with percussion mallets. Since you made reference to violins earlier and aging and so on, people who are more advanced players are going to pay attention to their bow and the weight and the balance and all this stuff. And even in my conducting batons, I want a certain balance in them. And I imagine that with percussion mallets, you want a certain amount of bounce, but a certain amount of stability and so on. What kind of things do you look for?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to be able to get rebound so you can, you know, draw the sound out of the instrument. So, you know, you want a balance of a mallet. You don't want a mallet that's too top heavy or too light either, because if you don't have any weight in your sound, you're not going to get a nice full sound at soft volumes if there's not any weight in the mallet. So it's a fine middle ground you have to find with a mallet. I really like the ones that Jeff Moore's designed. They're really perfect. These were actually made originally for outdoor percussion, but they work really well in my setting when I play with electrical instruments and guitars and amps.
Why? What would be different about something designed for the outdoors?
They're going to be heavier and louder and more full sound that's going to carry. A mallet that's designed for outdoors is basically designed for drum and bugle corps, where you have to project up to the box. So you want a lot of weight in your mallet to make the sound from the instrument project. A regular light concert mallet would not project like you need it to. So ironically, these outdoor mallets work really well for, you know, the setting I'm in, because I have people in bars or clubs, loud, and guitars and drums, and I really need a lot of projection at times. So these work well for me.
You mentioned drum and bugle corps. That's really where you got started in all this business after college.
That's correct.
Or was that even before college? I don't know where that figured in.
That was during college, actually. I was in the Madison Scouts for 3 years, and that was way back in the dark ages, the dinosaur ages. But I really love what I'm doing now, and I've kind of invented a technique because I, you know, a lot of concert hall marimba players see how I play and they're like, wow, he's aggressive. But I have to be that way because, you know, when I've got a club full of people and a drum set behind me and electric guitars and all the instruments, if I play a regular, light, delicate concert hall style, it's not going to project. And, you know, if you can't hear what the musician's doing, what's the point? So I have a much more aggressive style of playing than a regular concert hall marimba would have.
And I imagine that would be similar to what you'd need to use in a drum and bugle corps, because there's all those other kind of instruments, wind instruments, blowing their heads off, and you got to compete with that sound.
You're absolutely right.
So that formative experience sort of kicked you off into this style. The Kevin Lucas Orchestra wasn't originally called the Kevin Lucas Orchestra, though. It had an interesting name. Well, when you tell people what it is, they'll probably know what the inspiration was, I assume.
You mean the current name of the group?
The new group, the original name of the group.
You know, it wasn't an ego thing, or it wasn't the actual name that we liked, my name. We decided for marketing reasons to name it after me. A lot of people knew who I was, and we didn't like our old former name.
That's what I'm getting at.
The Dead Musician Society.
Right.
We got rid of that. It just wasn't, that was when I was, you know, 24 years old, and I didn't have much clue about marketing. So we decided to lose that name, and, you know, we did have a fan base at that time. So we said, well, what kind of name can we get? No one's going to know who we are if we change our name. So, you know, I said to the band, a lot of people know my name and associate my name with the old name. So if we just keep my name in the group, we're not going to lose our fan base or confuse people. And it worked out very well.
But I like that name, the Dead Musician Society. What was the idea? That came very shortly after your drum corps period. In fact, during part of it, I guess.
It was right after...
Right after I mentioned to you before we actually started the radio show that I'd seen an article that which I have in front of me called Carbondale's Marimba Maestro. It was from Perspectives, which I guess is a publication of SIU Carbondale, fall of 2001, and they were talking about, I guess you were in the School of Music there at that point.
Yeah, yes I was.
And they called you the Dead Musician Society, an art rock band. What did that mean, and is that actually a term that is fair to still use? I mean, I know you said world adult contemporary at this point.
We have always had a problem defining ourselves, and therefore our fans have had problems defining what type of music we are. We've had so many people say, well, we love your music, we just can't put a word or a term on it. So this is something we've been struggling with for over a decade. The term art rock we used to use in the beginning, but you know, I didn't like that description. So we went into more of a, we wanted to use a few more words to try to describe what it is. And the world term describes the marimba, and because it's such a world instrument. A lot of people just call us straight up progressive rock. So we use that term as well sometimes.
Whatever will work for somebody to help understand what it is the sound is like.
Exactly. We've had an identity crisis, which is a blessing in disguise because so many people have gravitated to our music because they've said, well, you guys don't sound like anything we've heard in our life. So the identity crisis has been sort of a blessing. The only downside to that is we've had problems defining in words what it actually is.
If you want somebody to listen who hasn't heard you before.
Exactly.
Well, we have, of course, the ideal setting here on Live and Local because we get to hear you actually do it besides just talking about it. So why don't we? I know you've got a couple other things, and we'll hear you play solo in a little while,
yep,
too. But what do you have next from the current CD that's making the radio rounds?
This song is called Beyond Words. This is a song I wrote about a year and a half ago. And it's more of a delicate type of adult contemporary rock type of song than the first one, which was more pop-oriented.
So this one is more of what you would call your usual fare for
exactly.
The Kevin Lucas Orchestra.
Exactly.
Who will be playing at the Illinois State Fair on Saturday at 7 o'clock in Springfield. Kevin Lucas, again, is live with us in the studio with his marimba. And is it all the rest of the guys then in this track?
Yes, this is the full group.
Okay, so that's Andy Waldron on vocals and guitar, Justin Wiley on bass, Jason Murray drums, Lee England Jr. on violin, and Ben Henning on winds.
Yeah, Ben's actually not on this song.
He's not on that song. Okay,
yeah.
So almost the whole group. But yeah. Ben will be there Saturday.
He's not with us anymore.
Oh, he's not?
No.
Oh, all right. I'm going to cross him off the list. So you just don't do horns anymore in the band.
We have a new horn player.
Oh.
His name is Jacob Johnson.
Jacob Johnson. I'm writing that down.
He's brand new. He just joined us 2 months ago.
All right. So he's not on the recording. So this is a mix of recording and live marimba, live on Live and Local here on FM 90.
You got it.
Beyond Words, the name of that composition by Kevin Lucas, performed by the Kevin Lucas Orchestra. Kevin was live in the studio on the 5-octave marimba with the backing tracks, minus the marimba, from their CD currently making the rounds of radio stations everywhere and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They'll be at the Illinois State Fair in Springfield Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. Programs on FM 90.9 today are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to explore the newly announced 2012-2013 season, including the opening night party with La Excelencia. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, visit krannertcenter.com. And for more information on the Kevin Lucas Orchestra, I think it's just kevinlucasorchestra.com. Yeah, it's when you're playing with the track, for example, I assume that the more soloistic moments were improv on your part.
Yeah,
just now.
It was all improv.
And so each of these songs, although the basics behind will be the same, your part and presumably some of what the other guys do will vary from performance to performance.
Exactly. And that's what we love about this group. Every time we perform any particular song, it's different every time. We open up the middles to solos, and one of the reasons why we termed it orchestra, we do it in a old big band style, to where you have the head of the song and then you have a middle transition section where people take improv solos. So we sort of do it in that style. It's kind of an open, big band music style.
So Lee England Jr., for example, is your fiddle player.
Yeah.
I've heard, I'm going to forget now, except I know when you were on before, he wasn't here, but I'd heard his name just recently at that point because he plays around with various other luminaries of some kind or another. So he might take a solo from his background. Stylistic background, which is different from yours.
Exactly.
I mean, yours comes from classical originally, other influences along the way, and what does he bring to the band stylistically?
Lee is a classical violinist. He is very talented, very creative as well, and he is a rarity because he's an awesome concert hall violinist who can improv. Not a lot of, violin concert hall players can improv like a jazz sax player. And he can do it as good, if not better, than the best, sax players who play jazz. He's just really excellent at improv.
And what's the background of, for example, your drummer and bassist?
Our drummer has a really interesting background. He's a former heavy metal drummer with double bass. He used to play in, bands doing the 80s Metallica style, or even heavier than that. And he came to our group, and he's really fit in well because our group is so percussive, and there's so much, there's just so much high-energy percussion going on that, ironically, his heavy metal background fit well with us. He just had to lighten up his touch a little bit and use some rods, and, but he brings his double bass and the whole thing. He just plays with more of an artistic touch.
When you say double bass, you're talking about double bass drum.
Double bass pedal, yeah.
Yeah. And then your bass player, Justin Wiley, what genres does he bring to the band?
Justin is, he's actually a former jazz bassist. So he's played upright and, so he does jazz and rock, and it's kind of cool. He can do the walking bass lines in the middle of a song that, you'll hear a big band do, and it's kind of cool to have a bass player that can play in that style. And he's got a great ear. He can just play anything you put in front of him, and just any style, he can just play by ear and immediately make it sound good on the spot.
And Ben Henning, who was playing horns on the current recording, now replaced, was it Jacob Johnson, you said?
Yes.
Usually with saxes, you assume jazz background.
Yeah, every sax player we've had has had a jazz background. And the new guy we got, Jacob Johnson, he's awesome. He's one of the best sax players in St. Louis. He's only 18 years old, but he's going to SIUE for jazz studies, and he's just basically a prodigy. That's why he was good enough to be in our group. He's really good, even though he's very young.
How'd you find him?
Andy found him in St. Louis. So Andy Waldron, our singer, found them.
So your band comes from a distance, so you get together whenever you have gigs, and you all obviously do other things to make a living, so to speak, because you're not going to make a living with Kevin Lucas Orchestra at the moment, with occasional gigs. So I guess I assume everybody else does something, either musically or otherwise, when you're not gigging with you guys.
Yep. Andy's a school teacher. He does that full-time during the year in St. Louis. And I do tile and stone setting, indoor, outdoor, patios, showers. And we do have quite... Our drummer, Jason, he's from Chicago, Jason Murray, and he works for a psychological department. He was a psych degree in college, but he does work for a psychological center. I don't know exactly what it's called, but...
As a psychologist, or
yeah, he's not a psychologist. He does a lot of work in record keeping and computer work, and I don't know exactly what his position is, but.
So for anybody who wants to hire you for tile work, not likely in the immediate area, since you're from Southern Illinois. Area.
I've actually gone to Chicago and done
seriously?
Jobs. Seriously? Yeah, I've done jobs in Nashville, Tennessee, for my former promoter and.
So are you doing particularly artistic tile work that you get to travel?
Yeah, I do very, you know, if I'm going to do tile, I'm going to do it artistically. So I do a lot of artistic types of tile, and I get creative with it. And so, you know, if you're going to do something, do it like the love of your life. So I try to do tile just as well as I do music. I don't know if I always do it like that, but I try.
Well, or at least as creatively as you do music.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I presume you'll do it well no matter which route you go. promised people we'd hear you play marimba solo for a little bit. When you do gigs just by yourself, which I gather you do without the band, you must have plenty of things to play on your own.
Yeah, I can do a short solo piece. They'd love to hear that Silent Running, too. We do have that. It's a remake of Mike and the Mechanics.
Sure.
And it's an end of the world influence when we arrange this. It's a full out like epic type of arrangement, and there's like battlefield sounds and Civil War flutes and nuclear explosion at the end, and
sounds encouraging.
Rototoms making the sound of gunfire in the middle, but the whole piece is meant to be an artistic recreation of the end of the world. So it's kind of intense, but I think everyone will like it.
Well, do you want to do that first? You want to do a little solo in between? We got about 15 minutes.
Sure. Well, why don't we do that first, then I'll end with some solo stuff.
Sure. All right, so this is called Silent Running. Is this your composition?
This is an arrangement of Mike and the Mechanics.
Oh, right. You mentioned that.
From the 1980s. So
arrangement by the band, collectively.
Yeah, Andy and I basically arranged this together, but it was written by Mike Rutherford. I like the original, and I like our remake too, but anytime you do a remake, I think you should try to be creative with it, but also respect the original. So that's what our attempt was here.
And it looks like you're going to do a mallet change or a mallet addition.
Exactly.
The thing is I'm sorry we don't have a television screen for you to see what Kevin is doing here, because marimba players typically use... two or more mallets per hand. So at the moment he's got four total, so two per hand. Plus you just pulled up, what are they, claves?
Claves.
Yeah, which are the, people recognize the sound of claves.
Yes, claves on the marimba though. That's...
No, they may not recognize that sound. I won't recognize that sound. Well, here we go. It's called Silent Running, the Kevin Lucas Orchestra in the background. Kevin Lucas live on the marimba in our studio here on FM 90.9. Called Silent Running, originally by Mike and the Mechanics, and recreated by the Kevin Lucas Orchestra, with the orchestra in the background, Kevin Lucas on the marimba, live in our studio, the rest of the band, Andy Waldron on guitars and vocals, Jason Murray on drums. Ben Henning was on that one,
yep.
I assume, on flute on that, Justin Wiley bass, Lee England Jr. on violin, and they'll all be... with the exception of Ben Henning, who's replaced by Jacob Johnson, going to be at the Illinois State Fair Saturday night at 7 o'clock. They were there last weekend as well, and I guess y'all did pretty well. Had a good crowd?
Yeah, we had a really good crowd response. It's in the Twilight Ballroom on the State Fairgrounds. It's a wine tasting area, so the Twilight Ballroom at 7 o'clock. It's a nice laid-back atmosphere, and it's cool. People should come out.
So how do you feel when you finish a song like that? You look a little jumpy.
Yeah.
And maybe a little winded. You sound winded.
A little winded, yeah. A little jumpy, too. I get pretty intense, especially with this song, because the whole arrangement was based on all of the end-of-the-world feelings going on in society now with 2012 and wars and droughts and everything. So we kind of put everything that's going on in the news worldwide, all the depression, just into this arrangement. And so it's pretty intense for me when we perform it anywhere.
Yeah, I imagine to put all that stuff in a song is... Yesterday we had a band that, you know, they say all our songs sound happy, but they're all about death. or mortality and so on. You wouldn't have known that from the fun they were having on here. We talked earlier. You're listening, by the way, to Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and back after 3 weeks off, I guess, as of yesterday. And I'll mention what's coming up the rest of the week, if I can remember, because I forgot to write this to get down for myself. Tomorrow, very, very different kinds of music. We're going to be having back, and this means I really should have written it down, Celtic harpist, and I'm completely blanking on his name, which is really embarrassing. Patrick Ball, thank you. Mike Pritchard is our sound engineer, and just reminded me, Patrick Ball, who's been on the show before, but we've played recordings of his, and because we've usually had him in the wintertime, it's really hard to get him in and acclimate his harp in time. But the weather, I guess, will allow it. His time will allow it. So he's going to play for us live tomorrow, so that should be really nice. Honestly, forgetting who's going to be here Thursday. And then on Friday, blues singer and guitarist from Chicago, Donna Harula, will be with us. Oh, I know who's going to be on Thursday. Is Hathaway's with Tom Chirino going to play some Peruvian music for
nice.
Us on Thursday. So lots of live music on the show this week. And I'll mention, too, that starting on September 4th, we'll actually be changing the time of the show. Of course, now we're doing the noon hour. We're going to be moving to 4 o'clock on FM 90.9 right before we run All Things Considered from NPR. So that should be an interesting change that I hope will be useful to many. But I wanted to ask you before we hear you do a little solo. One of the songs that you've been sending around actually won, or was among the winners of the 18th annual Billboard Songwriting Contest just last year. That had to have been huge.
Yeah, that was very amazing and very unexpected. I didn't think we had a chance when I submitted that song. It said they get over 10,000 submissions worldwide. So it's one of those things where I submitted it and forgot about it. And, you know, then I found out about a month later that we were in the finals, and I said to myself, well, yeah, okay, all right.
That's nice, cool. But.
Yeah. And then I got home from work about 2 in the morning, and I had a message saying we won the thing, and I was like, I had to keep listening to the message. I'm like, I don't believe this. It was one of those...
This is a hoax.
One of those weird moments in life where you're kind of out-of-body experience.
Well, congratulations on that. So they have various winners, but according to an article I'm reading here from the Herald News in Homer Glen.
Yeah, up near Chicago.
Yeah. There were tens of thousands of submissions.
Over 10,000 submissions.
Over 10,000 submissions, but only 36 winners in 12 categories.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Well,
congratulations. That tune's called I'm Not Ready. Was that your song?
No, Andy wrote that, actually.
Another Andy song. You're going to start really hating Andy.
No. No, it's okay, because everything we do, we both work together intensely on. And
and it's all the Kevin Lucas Orchestra.
Yeah, and it's incorporated into our sound. And whether I write a song or he writes it, we both put just as much passion into the production and development of the song. You know, like if I write a song, he works on it like it's his own, and vice versa. So when one of our songs do really well, you know, we don't feel, oh, your song, it's you know, it's all Kevin Lucas Orchestra. We're kind of a unit. So it's
well, like, it may be who wrote it down initially, but the whole orchestra turns it into the song that it becomes.
Exactly. I mean, once you get the initial idea down on paper, and then you get what it evolves into, it's just... What makes this group amazing is the evolution of songs from when they're conceived on paper into what they're brought to in the studio. You know, we've brought songs where we didn't think were that good, and we would get done and we'd be like, wow, you know, this really turned because of the collaborative effort and the recording and the production.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. And in a moment, we'll let you take us out with a very short version of what I understand can be a very long tune, depending upon the occasion and the setting. But you are listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wine, beers, and spirits for the series collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available on the Corkscrew's Facebook page. Kevin Lucas has been my guest. He and his five-octave marimba, the Kevin Lucas Orchestra, will be at the in the Twilight Ballroom, it's called, at the Illinois State Fair in Springfield, Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And Kevin Lucas solo, sort of new agey tune, you described it to me earlier. What's it called?
This is called A Walk Down the Moonless Night's Path. It looks like I'm going to have to do a short version.
You'll have 2 minutes.
All right. Thank you.